Throughout today's program, we're covering different aspects of the president's speech, and right now we're going to check some of the president's facts. The president offered a lot of information in support of his plans.
Do not let anyone mislead you.
That's what the president advised his audience about his plan to change Social Security. He was promising to keep benefits exactly the same for people over 55. For everyone else, however, the president said the system will be in trouble.
And by 2033, the annual shortfall would be more than $300 billion. By the year 2042, the entire system would be exhausted and bankrupt.
Many experts do say that the Social Security system faces trouble after the year 2042. That's the forecast of the system's own trustees. But NPR's John Itzde, who covers economic issues, says the president may have overstated the danger.
The fund will not be exhausted in 2042. In fact, there will be enough Social Security taxes coming in to pay about 70% of promised benefits in 2042. And it will continue to be able to pay about that much of benefits, again, throughout the 75-year horizon that the Social Security trustees look at.
If the president is playing up the dangers to Social Security, his opponents are playing up the dangers of the president's proposal to change it. In a brief response to the State of the Union speech last night, Democratic Senator Harry Reid made a dire warning.
It's wrong to replace the guaranteed benefit that Americans have earned with a guaranteed benefit cut of up to 40%. Make no mistake, that's exactly what President Bush is proposing.
Actually, the president did not formally propose a 40% benefit cut. Experts do say that a 40% reduction would be the result of one of several options to fix Social Security. The president did mention that option, among others, in his speech last night. Beyond Social Security, the State of the Union speech promoted another issue that's high on the president's agenda.
Justice is distorted, and our economy is held back by irresponsible class actions and frivolous asbestos claims. And I urge Congress to pass legal reforms this year.
When he said that lawsuits are hurting the economy, Mr. Bush caught the ear of John Cochran. Cochran covers legal issues for Congressional Quarterly.
I think the important thing to remember is that you have to take any claims about lawsuits or the economic costs of lawsuits, either way, with a big grain of salt. I mean, what's most striking about the whole tort debate is actually how little either side really knows about what's really going on out there. There's just a real lack of any kind of objective data.
This seems like an obvious statement. Lawsuits cost money, therefore they're a drag on the economy.
Yeah, and it's just not, economists say. First of all, nobody knows how much money flowing through the system is really excessive, which is part of Bush's argument, and how much is actually covering real injuries and real losses. And economists say, if I injure you and I pay you $150, what's lost? I don't buy a new suit, but you do.
There may also be little evidence to support a statement the president made last night about his education program.
Under the No Child Left Behind Act, standards are higher, test scores are on the rise, and we're closing the achievement gap for minority students.
Those who heard that statement include Steve Smith, a consultant to state governments. He formerly tracked education issues for the National Council of State Legislatures.
Well, I think it's interesting to notice he had mentioned that test scores were up and the achievement gap has reduced, and I haven't seen any studies out there that show any of those in the aggregate to be true.
Smith says some individual states have improved. Then again, some states lowered their own standards to make it easier to meet those standards. If it's hard to keep track of educational progress, it can be even harder to keep track of the expanding federal budget deficit. That's another subject that President Bush mentioned to Congress last night.
I will send you a budget that holds the growth of discretionary spending below inflation, makes tax relief permanent, and stays on track to cut the deficit in half by 2009.
All the president's promises amount to a tricky equation. Here's NPR congressional correspondent David Wellner.
The remedy that the president is proposing for fixing the budget deficit doesn't address the fact that a very large part of the deficit is coming from defense-related spending. He's depending on the domestic discretionary spending, which is only 16% of the budget, to somehow bring this gigantic deficit down. And in fact, even the White House says that the deficit this year is going to be about $15 billion more than last year. And that's not even counting the $80 billion that they're going to ask Congress for keeping the war in Iraq going.
In his State of the Union speech, President Bush promised to continue the fight against terrorism. He also expanded on a sweeping theme of his second inaugural address, the drive to expand democracy abroad. He repeated his administration's commitment to democracy in Iraq. But one part of the speech underlined the complexity of spreading democracy elsewhere.
Syria still allows its territory and parts of Lebanon to be used by terrorists who seek to destroy every chance of peace in the region. You have passed, and we are applying the Syrian Accountability Act, and we expect the Syrian government to end all support for terror and open the door to freedom.
NPR's Tom Gelton has been tracking the Syrian Accountability Act.
This is, in fact, a law under which the United States government can take actions against Syria for supporting terrorism, but they're very sort of small-scale steps, such as downgrading bilateral diplomatic ties and imposing travel restrictions on Syrian envoys in the United States. And even those minor steps, the Bush administration up until now has been very reluctant to take, precisely because of the help that the Syrians have provided in the war on terrorism. So perhaps this signals a somewhat tougher line on Syria, but the record of this administration so far has been not to push Syria all that hard.
In some of the most powerful parts of his State of the Union speech, President Bush celebrated two achievements of recent months. Despite violent opposition and widespread skepticism, Afghanistan and Iraq both completed elections. But the president did not offer specific facts on a critical question for the near future. He did not give an update on the training of Iraqi troops. Those troops are eventually supposed to take over Iraq's security and make it possible for U.S. forces to leave. Last night, the president restated the goal that Iraqis should defend themselves, but he left for the future any judgment about how soon they might be prepared to take over. Those are some of the facts we reviewed from last night's State of the Union speech. You can find a transcript of the president's speech and more coverage at NPR.org.
Thank you.